Hey there, and welcome to the Lights, Camera, Baby podcast, brought to you by Mama Magic. I'm Progeny Patha, the founder of Mama Magic, and I'm delighted to be your host. Since 2004, Mama Magic has been all about making life better for parents and families, and now we're here to support you even more on this amazing journey in a new way. Every day, a new mom is born, bringing new joys, hopes, and yes, a few fears too. We get it. The ups and downs of parenting can be a lot. And that's why we're here to guide you, support you, and celebrate with you every step of this way. On this podcast, we'll have a bunch of experts answering your biggest questions and helping you navigate the wonderful but complex world of parenting, whether you're looking for advice, reassurance, or just a connection with other parents. We're always here for you. We also know how tough it can be to choose the right products and services for your little one, from bottles and travel systems to linen and toiletries. We're going to showcase some of the best products out there. You'll get to hear directly from the brands, and that will help you make an informed decision. So, what are you waiting for? Join the Mama Magic community. Hit the subscribe button and join us on this journey, sharing stories, insights and tips to make your parenting experience as magical as possible. Thanks for tuning in to the Lights, Camera, Baby podcast, brought to you by Mama Magic. Subscribe now and make your journey unforgettable. We have a very special guest joining us. I'm delighted to welcome Mareka Kutsia, a mom of two and an internationally certified sleep trainer. Now, she believes that sleep is a biological right for the whole family. She's here to share her invaluable insights on tips and helping you and your little one get the rest you need. Mareka's expertise has transformed the sleep habits of countless families, bringing peace and well-being to both parents and children, which is an essential need. Now, whether you're struggling with sleep training, night waking, or establishing a bedtime routine, Mareka has the knowledge and experience to guide you through it. So, let's grab a cup of tea, get comfortable, and dive into this essential conversation about sleep with Mareka Kutsia. So stay tuned for expert advice that could change your nights and days for the better. A very warm welcome to you.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining us. You know, I always think that sleep is one of those things that every mum is concerned about. I think we all hear the stories when we're pregnant, and it's the anticipation of what's to come. And I don't know who came up with that term, you know, sleep like a baby.
They clearly don't have one.
Sleep like a baby. But I think, you know, every baby, in order to sleep well, requires the right environment and the right conditions, right? Yes. And that goes into adulthood. So, Mareka, tell us about what do you do for mums, and you've helped thousands of them already. So how do you go about with sleep training? And it sounds like such a military process.
I actually hate the word sleep training because it sounds very rigid. It sounds like you say, it's almost like you're doing something to the baby. We're doing this for the baby, not to the baby. So I prefer the term sleep coaching because I coach the family and to help their little one to sleep and to create beautiful, healthy sleep habits. Because at the end of the day, it should be healthy sleep habits, not this thing that is impossible to reach. So when I work with a family, and I'm internationally qualified, so I work with families all over the world with different cultures, different setups, different environments, even with daytime, nighttime differences if they are overseas. So for me to work with a family, I go and I engage with that family, with their needs and their circumstances. So I prefer doing the personal consultation. Absolutely. When we do a Zoom consultation or in-house consultation. And every age is different. Every baby is different. I don't believe in a one-size-fits-all program. Right. I tried that with both my kids. My firstborn is now 13 and my secondborn is 4 years old. So when my firstborn was a baby, I tried different approaches. And when my secondborn was born, I thought, I'm going to use the same program. It's going to be the same. And absolutely not. My secondborn was just, she completely just don't want to do what we wanted it to do. Right. The routine was different. And that's why I say every child is different. Every day is also unique. You can't on the set schedule of 3 o'clock, this needs to happen, 2 o'clock, this needs to happen, 10 o'clock, this needs to happen, because every baby is different. every age group, and also every day is unique. Today, I might be a bit more tired than yesterday, so I'm going to go to bed a bit earlier. So a set schedule and a set routine is very important, but you can change the time of the routine.
Yes.
I always say a poor nap day, we move bedtime earlier. Let's adjust and make this easy for mom, because if mom has this schedule against the fridge that says this needs to happen at these certain times, do I wake my baby? Because the schedule says she must feed. I did that, then I woke my baby, and you're not supposed to wake a baby.
Right. Now, you know, when we talk about this, and I'm sure all pregnant mums that are listening to us right now might be thinking, wow, that all sounds so daunting. And it is a journey that you will go through. Some babies, you know, it just, we don't need to fiddle with, right? They have this automatic routine and it works well. So it's not, like you're saying, each baby is so different. But if we're talking to pregnant mums right now, who's expecting this newborn and listening to all the stories from, you know, the and all these fears are rising because of all the stories they've listened to. What can you expect with your newborn when you're bringing your newborn home? And what should you do? You know, I was just so rigid. I remember I'd read all of these stories and I was trying to follow this rigid schedule, and the rest of my family looked at me like, what are you doing? But I was determined that I was going to get this right. And 6 months later, I was with a sleep training coach because I didn't. So it's such, you know, so much of anticipation for our new moms. Where should they begin?
I think they should breathe because I think the anxiety, everything that goes with being a mom, being a parent, especially for the first time, you have no idea what you're doing. You can prep yourself as much as possible. But when you come home with that little newborn baby, it felt that my second time, I knew nothing again. It felt like I'm doing this all over again. So my advice to moms always is the first 6 weeks is quite difficult with a newborn. They sleep majority of the time, they feed and they have a diaper. So the first 6 weeks is very normal. If it's very irregular and if they sleep majority of the time, which is a good thing because our babies grow during deep sleep. So the more they sleep, the more they can grow during deep sleep. But the first 6 weeks, that's when I work with a newborn baby, I do sleep education with the first 6 weeks. And then after 6 weeks, we can start introducing a routine, like a bedtime routine, signal nighttime, signal daytime, because our circadian rhythm allows us to know when it's daytime to be alert and when it's nighttime to be sleepy. So a baby are born with an immature circadian rhythm, and it takes him 2 to 4 months to develop completely. So a tip to moms, especially for the first 2 to 4 months, to help them develop their own baby's circadian rhythm. Frequent daytime, frequent feeding during the day, and right. Light exposure. Amazing light exposure, because our eyes are so sensitive. The backside of our eyes, the retina, the minute any form of light falls onto the retina, it sends a message to the brain, should I be alert and awake now because it's daytime and there's natural or artificial light falling onto my eyes, or is it dark? Should I sleep? And to help our babies to develop that immature circadian rhythm, exposure to daylight every day is important, and frequent daytime feeds. And after a certain age, we start introducing them not to feed them to sleep. I think that's the biggest approach, is to kind of break the association, is breastfeeding to sleep or bottle feeding to sleep, because sometimes it's just the easiest. But now you're sitting with a little newborn, all they want to do is sleep. So it's very normal and natural for them to fall asleep with a feed. And it's better to help them, to teach them to feed them after a nap instead of before a nap to fall asleep. So if moms can just maybe try that in the beginning, it really makes a world's difference.
Now, what about those things that we're all so fearful with when we bring baby home and we want the silence because baby needs to sleep? So firstly, it's the silence. Mm-hmm. And anybody that is around, it's shh.
Put your phone on silent. I did that.
Right. So the silence is the one thing. The light, you know, let's keep everything dark. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we want to create that. We want them to sleep in the daytime. Yes. So we want to create the dark. Yes. And then it's the feeding to sleep. So there's all these things that you're so wary. You know, you're walking around on tenterhooks all the time. So should we be doing that?
Let's start with the silence. We rather want to teach our babies to sleepy noise, because if you do go to a mall or you go for out and about and your baby is used to sleeping in complete silence at home, they're going to find it very difficult to sleep anywhere else. So right. I introduce white noise. White noise is amazing just to have in the background when your baby sleeps, so they can get used to sleeping in noise. So when they are out and about with you in the pram, when you're going for a coffee with your friend, they can still sleep in the pram, because babies are born with only two sleep stages, deep sleep and REM sleep. So when they are in deep sleep, up until the age of 4 months, they are only in two phases, deep sleep and REM sleep. They can sleep very easily in a pram at a barbecue with a, at a friend's house. What happens after 4 months of age? They go through that daunting four-month sleep regression. Now what happens in the brain needs to make space for phase one, light sleep, phase two, light sleep to come in. So now there are more than 50% of their sleep spending in light sleep. So it's easier for them to sleep and get used to noise. I remember with my firstborn, my dogs, I immediately put them outside. My phone was on silent. Some, when anyone came to visit, I asked them, please, inside voice, keep your voice down. And my midwife came to visit me and she's loud and she tells me, no, put your phone on normal mode. So babies need to learn to sleep in noise. So that's why white noise is amazing from day one. Let's talk about darkness quickly. When I work with a family, if I ask you, I will babysit your baby for 2 hours. I'm going to give you off for 2 hours. I'll babysit. Mm-hmm. You can have a nap. You've got two options. You can either have a nap right here on the couch with this amazing light going, yes, or I'm going to book you into a hotel room for 2 hours with those amazing beds. You don't know, yes, where they get the comfortable bedding, and they've got blackout curtains. For you, yes, as an adult, which one will you choose for a quick nap? I'll choose the hotel vibe, mm-hmm, wouldn't you? It's just inviting sleep.
Yep.
So our babies need to sleep in a dark room, even with the daytime naps, to help them to fall asleep easier, because melatonin, the sleep hormone, can only be triggered once it's dark. For example, this light behind me, this artificial light, it has a very big impact on our baby's melatonin level. So what will happen? Cortisol level will increase, the stress hormone, because it falls onto the retina and now I can't fall asleep because there's so many lights on me. So when we do a daytime nap, ideally it would be invest in blackout curtains and a white noise machine. Those two things, because as a new mom, yes, you want to buy these beautiful things for your baby nursery. You get the, you get so many different things. But two things I would definitely advise is a white noise machine and blackout curtains.
So when we talk about daylight, right, and we're talking about daylight, so is putting the lights on in the room an option, or, you know, should we take baby outside?
Both. If it's daytime, we want to, with our biological body clock, if it's not nap time or nothing to do with sleep, let's put the lights on. Let's open the curtains. Let's have beautiful daytime. So I prefer natural daylight. Right. And light is perfect because it teaches our baby, okay, you are awake now. You need to feed to help our little ones to get all the calories in daytime. We should feed them in a well-lit room. For example, the living room, yes, and not the bedroom.
Right.
So during daytime, all feeding should happen rather in a well-lit room, so they get all the calories in that they should have. And once they are ready and mature enough to start stretching through the night, between age 4 and 6 months, they can start going without nighttime feeds if they get all the calories in daytime.
Ah.
So ideally would be daytime light exposure, and when it's time to have a nap, close the curtains. A baby, especially a newborn baby, has an awake time window of 45 minutes. I mean, what can you do in 45 minutes? You quickly make a cup of coffee, you run and brush your teeth, you might get in the shower. I mean, then 45 minutes is done. So with our little ones, their awake time window is only 45 minutes, then they have to sleep again. So it feels like, especially the first couple of weeks, moms, it feels like all you're doing is you are just feeding and changing diapers and putting your baby back to sleep. And then you've got hopefully in half an hour or 2 hours of that baby's nap, we can do something for yourself. And then the whole process starts again. So to give them that sun exposure during awake and give them a dark room during nap time is advisable.
Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on the big dilemma of co-sleeping? Because, you know, when baby's born, you want them to be close to you.
And skin on skin,
right?
Is important.
Skin on skin is important. But at the same time, there's that dilemma is, am I creating an addiction to being close to me? And when baby's far away from me, am I going to make them, is she going to be fearful that she's away from me? Is she going to be able to sleep because I've become her teddy bear, her
sleep,
clutch,
her sleep prop,
her prop, right? So how do you, what are your recommendations?
I think every family is different. That's why I work with a different culture, a lot of different cultures. Some parents and some families prefer co-sleeping. Mm-hmm. With, for me, it's very important to put all the facts on the table, so safe sleeping. So I teach them a safe sleep guideline so we know exactly what is safe for our baby. And the safest for your little one is an empty crib, which is a firm mattress. no bumpers, no pillows, no nothing in that crib, because they are at high risk of SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome, the first 4 months of their life, but they are still in risk of SIDS until 12 months of age. So the less things in the crib, the more empty the crib, the safer your baby is. So co-sleeping, some families do prefer that. As a sleep coach, I can just advise them that if you do prefer co-sleeping, make sure that you can't roll over your baby, because unfortunately, when you are in deep sleep, you won't even realize when you roll over. So it's not the safest way to go. So I prefer rather having baby in their own little crib on a firm mattress and they are safe. Because safety for me comes first when I do work with a family. That's just a personal opinion. But each family also needs to do what works for them as their family. But my job is to make sure that our baby is safe. And co-sleeping is not the safest. So I always say bond with your baby when your baby is awake. Skin on skin is extremely important, especially the first couple of weeks for both partners, mom and dad. Do a lot of skin on skin. And when your baby needs to have a nap, give them quality sleep. For their body, for their neck, for their posture, it's very good for them to sleep on a firm mattress instead of on your back or on your breast or in your arms. A firm mattress is the best for your baby, for their posture to sleep, and it's good quality sleep. But bond with your little one when they are awake.
Okay, so we spoke about the light, we spoke about the sound, the co-sleeping, and you spoke about feeding as well. But now we're in the cot, right? Mm-hmm. And then my other concern is baby warm enough? Mm-hmm. Because you're saying a hard mattress, a firm mattress,
yes.
A firm mattress, no pillows, no bumpers, those kind of things. But then is baby warm enough? You know, how much of layers do I put on? Do I put a blanket over or do I put a really warm romper on? But can baby overheat then? You know, so it's, you know, all these concerns as mom.
Yes. Part of my package, when I work with a family, they get a dressing guide to know exactly the temperature in the room, ideally between 18 and 22 degrees. The rule of thumb is we should be nice and cozy, but in a cool environment, because babies can overheat very easily. So preferably, rather make sure that they are warm enough and always one layer extra. So if you have two layers on, give baby three layers, because you know then they are warm enough. For the first 8 weeks, it is advisable to swaddle them, mm-hmm. to have them nice and calm. And then what I usually ask moms, especially in the wintertime, I mean, it's very cold now here in Joburg.
Yes.
Instead of putting blankets over your little one, rather tuck the blanket over the mattress like a fitted sheet. So then baby sleeps on top of heat instead of lots of blankets on top of them. So you can heat the room a little bit, but try. I prefer the heaters against the wall. I think it's safer. And you get those ones that will regulate the yes. temperature in the room. They won't go above 22 degrees. As they get older, you can, from 12 months onwards, you can introduce a blanket, you can introduce a pillow. The reason why we don't want that in the beginning is especially it can fall over their face and the risk of SIDS. So rather make sure that they are layered enough and they are swaddled the first 8 weeks. And after 8 weeks, we stop swaddling. For first 3 nights, we'll take one arm out, the next 3 nights, the other arm, and then we put them in a little sleep sack. A sleep sack is advisable up until, I want to say, 3 years old. My toddler still walks around in her sleep sack. Unfortunately, South Africa don't cater for the right sleep sack, so it should be a big one. It shouldn't be tight fitted because our babies like to kick and they don't want stuff on top of them. Where a sleep sack just keeps the heat inside. If they're wearing little socks, 4 o'clock in the morning, unfortunately, our baby's body temperature drops. Doesn't matter winter or summer. 4 a.m., every baby's body temperature drops. So usually the 4 a.m. mark is when they do wake because they are cold. So if they're in a sleep sack, wearing socks on a firm mattress with a blanket over the mattress, usually they won't wake because they are cold. So I think that's just the things that we do look at. Between 4 and 6 a.m., we all are in very light sleep. The closer we get to daytime, the lighter our sleep gets. So we spend more time in REM sleep and light sleep as day approaches. So the beginning of your night, you are in deep sleep quite a lot. But between 4 and 6 a.m., our babies wake prematurely for three reasons. Getting cold.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is there's no white noise on, so they can hear the birds. They can hear daddy's cell phone or daddy's alarm goes off, yes. especially if they're in the same room.
Yes.
And the third thing is it's not dark enough. You know, this natural light comes sneaking through the curtains yes. underneath the door if daddy
That's
takes
true.
A shower in his bathroom. And any form of artificial light or natural daytime light will wake our little ones prematurely. So between 4 and 6 a.m., keep that room as dark as possible. Keep the white noise on and make sure your baby's warm enough. So those three things can help mommies just to stretch them and not start their day before 6 a.m.
So what are your recommendations when it comes to, should I put baby in my bed, mm-hmm. one, co-sleeping. So there's different conditions there, true. Right? Co-sleeping in the room, mm-hmm. you know, in a separate cot. That's another option, right? And then the cot in another room. Mm-hmm.
In their own room.
And I'm sure, you know, all families have, like you're saying, everybody's different and each of these things might appeal to different people. But with those kind of three conditions, so let's start in the bed. How do I create a safe environment there? And then when am I brave enough? Do I, you know, and some mums might be brave enough to put them in the cot in the separate room from get go. What are your thoughts here?
I think it's definitely a personal opinion. And that's one of the first things that I do discuss when I work with a family. And my rule will always be, I'm never going to ask you to do anything against your mommy heart. We still need to adjust to whatever the family wants. So if mommy okay. wants little baby in bed with her, it's her decision. So then I will just make sure that the environment is safe. So preferably between mom and dad, then in those little donuts where you can make sure no one rolls over them. And then if you put a barrier, do whatever you can to make a little barrier so daddy or mommy don't roll over baby. Right. Especially just as a tip for moms, when do we in which position do we put them down? So we lay them down on their back.
Yes.
Until they can roll both ways, then you can leave them in the position they assume. Until they can roll both ways. Otherwise, you put them on their back on a firm mattress. Next to the bed in the crib, I mean, the more boring and the more empty the crib, the safer baby is. And then mommy is also close by if she needs feeds. Every family is different with this, and it's a very personal opinion. Both my children were in their rooms from day one. I created their own rooms for them. It was safe. I had the snoozer. I prefer the snoozer. I love the snoozer. For the first 12 months, my little one had a snoozer in to make sure that we pick up the heartbeat and breathing. And I went to her room multiple times a night just to go check on her. Yes. The reason why I did that, with my firstborn, he was in my room for 13 days, the first 13 days. And a sleep-deprived mom, yes, I literally tried to breastfeed my husband in his sleep. That's what sleep deprivation did to me. I breastfed my cell phone device because of sleep deprivation. So for me, I had to wake up completely and make sure that I am aware of my surroundings before I fed my baby. So with my second born, I thought I'm going to put her in her own room from day one. And I went to her to feed her and then put her back in her crib and then went back to my bed because sleep for parents is also quite important.
Yes.
You can't focus. Some parents go back to work. My little one was 5 weeks old. I went back to work. So I had to get my sleep in as well. So to make sure you and your husband, your partner get that sleep in, if you prefer co-sleeping, if you prefer own bedroom, that's a personal opinion. My job is to make sure baby is in a safe environment, wherever that environment is. Let's just make sure baby is in a safe environment.
Absolutely. And talking about mums and sleep and dads sleeping and, you know, we all go back to work and that routine. And you're so right. It affects your entire day. So when you're at home then with baby, is it important for you to take naps while baby's taking naps? Or is it going to affect my sleep at the end of the day as well?
I definitely, especially with a first mom, with a mom with a baby at home that has irregular sleep patterns, to also nap when baby naps. Leave the washing. You can do the dishes later. Yes. It's tiring being a full-time mom. It's tiring to look after the baby, especially the first 12 weeks. So I advise moms, if baby sleeps, have a nap with your baby. Sleep when you can sleep. It's not going to have an impact on your nighttime sleep because you still need to have at night at least 7 hours of nighttime sleep. Now, on that note, how much sleep is enough sleep? With our little babies, it's quite frightening to think between, I want to say, 14 and 17 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period. That's a lot of sleep.
That is a lot of sleep.
And as they get a bit older, when I work with them, when they start stretching through the night from about 6 months of age, 10 to 12 hours of nighttime sleep without feeding. So my four-year-old turning five, she still sleeps 10 to 12 hours every single night because sleep's a priority in my house. My high school boy, he sleeps at least 9 hours a night.
Brilliant.
My husband and I, at least 8 hours a night. So I prioritize sleep in my household because sleep is a biological human right. I hate it when people become parents and the family will tell them, you're not going to sleep for the next 2 years. It's normal. It's okay. It's not normal. You deserve sleep. Your little one deserves sleep.
Oh, that is so true. And I think that is every mom's sphere and dad's, as we, you know, baby is coming along and you hear all the horror stories. And like we're saying, you know, there's a different story for every parent, and that's okay, you know, but what if we do have, I mean, it's the worst fear that you have, is baby going to sleep through the night? I mean, because you hear all the stories. So what if you do have a troublesome sleeper? What are your recommendations in terms of training methods that you would recommend to get through this?
I absolutely hated it with my second born when people told me, my little one slept through the night from 3 months already. And I just yes. to shut my ears.
I know.
Like, please don't talk to me. I don't want to hear. So we only sleep trained her at 10 months. So I always say when your baby is becoming a certain age, for example, 10 months of age, still not sleeping through the night and might need nighttime feeding and can't fall asleep by themselves, we need to step in and help them. Because some babies can figure it out by themselves. But
yes.
sleeping is a skill. To fall asleep is a skill. And that's the method that we teach them. It's just riding a bicycle. They're not born with the skill to ride a bicycle. But what is your responsibility as the parent is to ensure baby is on the bicycle. You push them. You show them what to do. You help them balance. And after a couple of days, you might start letting go. You will still be there to support.
The training wheels are there.
Exactly. That's the same with sleep. So the method I work with, I don't do the Ferber method, which is the cried out approach. Mm-hmm. Sleep Sense, I'm qualified with them. Obviously, I had to learn all the different methods and study them. I don't agree with the Ferber method. I'm a mom myself, and having them cry for long periods, like 3 hours on end, it's just not for me. So I prefer not going that route.
Yes.
So I've got two different approaches, much more gentle. You either stay in the room with your little one to offer the support, or you go out the room and you go in and out. We do regular checks. You wait a couple of minutes outside, you go and you listen to the cues. So there's different methods that we do, and each family choose the method they're comfortable with. Again, I don't want you to do anything against your mother heart. If this works for you, then we're going to do it. But to teach them with sleep, same as for riding a bicycle, our responsibility as the parents are to make sure that they are fed, to ensure they are safe in a loving environment, and that they are warm enough, and they know that they are loved. But the last step of actually closing my eyes and falling asleep, it's a skill that our babies can learn from a very young age. We just need to give them the opportunity and the time with our guidance and support to learn that skill. And it takes 3 to 5 nights to learn a skill.
So there is a solution.
Absolutely.
It's not a, you know, I'm at my wit's end and this is going to be my journey for the next few years because my child's never going to sleep. There's always a solution. And I think thanks to you and people, experts like you that are here to guide parents is so important because lots of parents don't realize that there is somebody there. You know, moms, there are people out there that will help you create the right environment. Because when your heart is so in it and that baby just makes you melt, all reason, you know, common sense just gets thrown out the window. We forget about the little things, the obvious things, because we're so sleep deprived ourselves. Our bodies have been through so much through that pregnancy, through all those expectations and the labor and the hormones. So there's so much that's going on, and having somebody like yourself to guide you, and take you through the process, or follow the tips and follow the advice to create that safe, nurturing environment is possible. Right?
Absolutely. A sad thing is a baby that doesn't sleep well turns into a toddler that doesn't sleep well. They turn into a young adult and later into an adult that doesn't sleep well. Majority of the families I work with, I usually ask the mom and dad, are you a good sleeper now? And sometimes the dad would say, no, I've never been a good sleeper. So as a baby, you were not a good sleeper. So let's break that pattern. It's not something that you can carry on for generations because it's normal. It happened to me. Let's break that and teach your baby to sleep well so they can turn into an adult that has beautiful quality sleep. When I work with a family, I always promise them, I'm not going to let go of you until we find success because I absolutely love what I do. I have a passion for the science of sleep, but to help families to get them, you know, in the initial consultation, I see them yawn in the consultation. I can see they are so sleep deprived and they try to keep their pose. And when I tell them, your little one will start sleeping 10 to 12 hours a night. Are you ready for that? What are you going to do with all that time?
Oh,
and
delightful.
I can see they're like, no, that's impossible. There's no way my baby will sleep that night 2, 3, 5, my little one, literally night one. They phone me and like, okay, I think I'm ready for baby number 2 now. And just to ensure that the support I give my families, for me, is more important than the knowledge that I give them, is to support them to know when you want to cry, you phone me. I'm there to support you. And usually I have a 2-week support of unlimited WhatsApp support, phone calls, etc. And if we don't find success and you are not happy, I'm not going to let you go. I will stick by your side until we find happiness. That is a passion of helping families.
Wow. Well, Marika, thank you so much for all this such valuable, valuable information. I think moms need to realize that there is no one size fits all. And I think you've given us all the reasons why today, that we each have our own journey and we have people like you and we have lots of information. It's how you digest it and how you make it work for you. I always say each one has their own journey and we cannot compare ourselves to other moms because we are going to drive ourselves silly and we're just going to second guess ourselves. Our children are going to pick up those vibes that, you know, we are feeling insecure, we are feeling ratty, is going to affect our sleep, our relationships with them. And like you say, I also like when you say that it's a biological right because sleep affects every aspect of our lives, right? It's not just about having a good night's sleep. Like we spoke about, it affects your nutrition. It affects your confidence. It affects how you go about your day, how you interact with people. It affects your organs in your body and how they function, absolutely, right? Because that's when all the healing happens.
Absolutely. But what is sad is I feel like sleep is always number two. Feeding and nutrition is usually number one. And sleep, sometimes it takes a back seat. And they are equally as important for survival. Sleep and feeding goes hand in hand. So when I work with a family with a newborn and that mom says, my little one has never slept through the day and it's fine, she's just not a good sleeper or a sleeper during the day, then I explain to her she needs to sleep throughout the day to get to a good yes. night as well. So you will never let your baby go without feeding throughout the day, correct?
That's true.
Let's make sure that sleep is equally as important because for survival and our baby's development, for their brain development, for their emotional development, for the immune system to be rebuilt in REM sleep, for memory consolidation, for growth, so many different things wow. that happens during sleep that we're not alert of. And we think we only get that from feeding. Yeah. Unfortunately, sleep is equally as important.
Well, once again, thank you so much. What is your one parting shot for our mums? What would you like to leave them with?
Just enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Every baby is different. And I think find your own unique way of handling and bonding with your baby.
Yes.
Know that there are help. But do this, make this your journey. And if you ever need help, I'm there to help and support. But enjoy the journey. Nothing can prepare you for becoming a parent. Just enjoy every minute of it. It goes so quick.
Wonderful. Thank you, Marika. It's been wonderful chatting with you. And I know our mums will be reaching out to you as well when they need the help. And we all want a good night's sleep. And like Marika says, it's a biological right. So make sure that you and your baby have a good night's rest. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.